Quest for Freedom, The Mira Stormweather Trilogy, Book 2, by Kara L. Bingham, narrated by Avon Shore. Chapter 1. In a sacred place in the deepest, darkest heart of the summer forest, Glycinda, the leader of the dragons, lay dying, circled by her friends and fellow dragons. Their heads were bowed, showing their sorrow over the loss of a leader and companion that they loved and respected. The site was sacred. It was a place where all dragons came to die. Throughout dragon lore and myths, it was said to be a portal between heaven and earth, and that dying there would make the crossing easier. Even if the dragon resided thousands of miles from the summer forest, they would still use up the last of their energy trying to make the journey there. Glycinda looked up at the sky. She saw that the stars were shining brightly, and she heaved a sigh of contentment. It had always been her wish that, when her time came, she would die on a night when the stars shone brightly. Glycinda raised her head, and the other dragons rushed over to hear how they could assist her.
"Send for the two ambassadors and Verdict Velman," she said in the dragon language,
which to human ears would have sounded like a complicated series of crackles, whistles, growls, and pops. At this request, the dragons huddled together. They knew that if they were to honor their leader's last wishes, they would have to venture into the world of humans. To dragons, the human world was a world from their nightmares, for it was humans that had hunted them to near extinction only a few hundred years ago. The thought of leaving the safety of the forest sent shivers down their spines, even though they knew that humans had now forgotten about their existence due to a protection spell the witches had cast in an attempt to save the dragon nation. The fears of their violent history with humans still haunted them.
"I think Little Spark should go," said Galliant.
At this suggestion, a young dragon bounded boldly forward, proud to be of service, only to have his mother, Selinka, pull him firmly back by her side. She let out a controlled stream of fire from her nose, designed to reprimand rather than injure her son, and then she turned on Galliant.
"Little Spark is still only a dragonette. He hasn't even earned his true dragon name yet," said Selinka.
"But he's so small that no one will be able to see him."
Galliant's statement gave Little Spark hope that he might still be chosen for this heroic deed. He was an eighth the size of the other dragons, but he had plenty of spirit and he was a bit of a daredevil. He was different shades of reds, blues, and greens, as though his body hadn't decided what color it wanted to be yet.
"He doesn't have the capability to fly great distances," growled Selinka.
The other dragons knew that this was true. Little Spark had only hatched a few years ago, and had only just learned how to spread his wings. To send him out on this mission would put him in danger of falling in mid-flight. It was a risk that the other dragons were not willing to take. Little Spark was too important to them because he was the only dragon to have been hatched in a century. The dragons argued so loudly that they couldn't hear the tiny voices of the fairies, who had overheard the discussion and come to offer their assistance. The fairies were beautiful. They had multicolored hair in pale shades, and they wore dresses made from different flowers.
Excuse me,"
said the group of fairies repeatedly, in a vain attempt to be heard over the dragon's loud rumblings. It wasn't until Galliant spotted them out of the corner of his eye that he knew they were trying to get their attention. He signaled the dragons to cease their arguments so that he could hear what the fairies had to say.
"Yes, how can we help you? As you can see, we're very busy,"
said Galliant, as he sat down too, his ears straining to hear what the fairies had to say, because to a dragon's hearing, the sound fairies made was as quiet as a pin dropping.
"It's more of a case of what we can do to help you," replied the fairies.
"You would help us," Galliant snorted.
"Yes. Do you remember that we gave Mira one of our gold rings the last time she was here? Anthony has one too," said the fairies.
"So,"
said Galliant, thinking that this was a fairy game that he didn't have time to play.
"So, if she is still wearing the ring that she promised never to take off, we can communicate with her through it. Then no dragon will have to go into the human world."
"Of course. That's old fairy magic. Now, why didn't I think about that?"
said Galliant.
"Because you are not a fairy, and therefore don't think like us,"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?